I'll be reading James 1, 19 through 25. James 1, 19 through 25. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does.
Thank you, Brian, for that reading. It's good to be able to be here this morning, to see you here, to see the sun kind of out. We live in interesting times. I read recently that over 111 billion emails are sent every day. 111 billion email. I probably get half of those. And they go in my trash. 111 billion. And it was estimated in 2018 that over 9 trillion text messages were sent. 9 trillion. I can't even imagine what that number looks like. We live in an age of communication. We live in an age of information. It's just an incredible time to be alive. There was an author by the name of Bob Morehouse, though, who wrote an essay called The Paradox of Our Time. The Paradox of Our Time. And here's a brief excerpt of what he had to say. Talking about our society, talking about our world, we've learned how to make a living, but not a life. We've added years to life, not life to our years. We've been all the way to the moon and back, but yet have trouble crossing the street to meet a new neighbor. We conquered outer space, but not inner space. We've done larger things, but not better things. Think about that. I think every part of what he is saying here is true in one sense or another, but the part that really draws me to it is that we've conquered outer space, but not inner space. Think about it. Everything that we build is bigger, is stronger, it's mightier, it seems to last longer. We send men up into space. We send radio waves out to the stars, but inner space is another subject. We are not even close to conquering that. The human heart seems as unruly as ever. Last Tuesday afternoon, after ladies' Bible class had dispersed, there was a knock on my office door, and that happens occasionally. And I went to the door and opened it up, and there, standing before me, is a young woman by the name of Alexa Bartola. And those of you who watch KSBY News, Channel 4 or 6, whatever it is here, know that she's one of the young reporters that goes out and gathers information for a specific report that she's working on. And so she said, "Can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Of course. Why don't you come on in and we'll talk." So she came in, sat down in my office, and she said, "Here's my question. There was a shooting Monday night, just a couple blocks from here. where a 17-year-old girl was killed. And my question is this: what did you think about that? Well, I thought to myself first, what kind of a question is that? What did I think about that? I think it's tragic. I think it's horrible. A 17-year-old girl who was babysitting her siblings and heard a shot in the alley, walked out to see what was going on, and was hit by a stray bullet and killed. Alexa, that was horrific. And so I said, what did you think of it? What is your opinion about what happened? And she said, I think it was terrible. I think we need to do something about that. Well, what do we do? She said, well, first of all, we got to understand what's the problem? What's the cause? And I said, that's easy. I'll tell you what the cause of it is. It's sin. What about the gangs? What about the gang problem we have in Lompoc? Well, it's a problem. But it's only a result of sin. So she said, well, that may be true, but what do we do about it? What's the answer? And I said, the answer is right here, where it's always been. It's that simple. She didn't like my answer. She said, thank you very much. I noticed she didn't take any notes about what I was saying. She didn't get her camera out to record me. She left. But the greatest challenge that we're facing in our lives is not in space. It's in our hearts. It's inside that which God has created. And if you look at your life, I think you'd agree. The biggest challenge that you and I have is within, not without, because what we are inside dictates who we are on the outside. And the only way that we're going to be on the outside, the way that God wants us to be, is to take this on the inside. That's where it starts. I got to tell you, as I've been going through the book of James in preparation for this series that we're doing, the one thought that came to my mind is, we get the Christian Chronicle here once a month, and I read through it, and you can get it online as well, and I pass it out to the elders, and they read it also. And toward the back of the Christian Chronicle, they have all the Preacher's Wanted ads. Preacher Wanted in North Dakota, Preacher Wanted here. There is an abundance of ads looking for ministers. And I thought to myself, in reading the book of James and seeing what James has to say, if he were to go to one of these congregations and preach what he's telling us in James, I don't know if he'd be hired. Because he minces no words. He steps on a lot of feet. He makes a lot of people uncomfortable, including me, and hopefully including you as well. James tells us in this little book that was written some 2,000 years ago to some scattered, beleaguered, oppressed Jewish believers how they're to live and how they're to hang on and how they're to deal with all the things that they're faced with. And this book, these words, are just as relevant today as they were over 2,000 years ago. Because God is writing these words to us. In the passage that Brian read, James, through inspiration, begins to tell us some things that we don't do very well. He reminds us that we are to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. It's not so easy all the time, is it? He's referring or tying that into some of the trials and temptations we go through, but we tie it into every facet of our life. In our relationship to God and His Word, we need to be quick to listen to what He's telling us. In our relationship with each other, particularly in that husband and wife relationship, we need to be quick to listen, slow to respond. Someone once said, "I have never learned a thing while speaking. I've never learned anything when I'm talking. I always learn when I'm listening." You know what they say? God gave us two ears and only one mouth. Two ears so we could really listen. And if we are quick to listen and slow to speak, we will find that we will then be slow to anger. And because our anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires in each one of us, we are to take these words to heart. We're to rid ourselves of all filth and evil that are in us and humbly accept the Word of God which has been planted in us. But James just doesn't stop there. He then tells us how we accomplish what he has just told us that we need to do. First thing he tells us is to go to the Word. To go to God's Word. And in it we will see that we need to pay attention. Because hearing the Word and not doing what it says leads to self-deception. A young minister was teaching the principles of Bible study. And he was showing his class how to pick out in God's Word the commands that God wants us to obey. And he spent a lot of time instructing the class on exactly how to find those commands and how they're to apply them to their life. And finally, when he finished the class, he was going through a review of what he had just said. And he said, what do you do with the commands that God has given you? And one little lady in the back raised her hand and said, "I underline them in blue." Well, underlining God's commands in blue in your Bible makes for a colorful Bible. But that's not what God has in mind. He wants us to take those commands, to take these words, and He wants us to apply them. Excuse me. In and of themselves, sitting in our book without us doing anything about them doesn't do us any good. Imagine that you have developed a rash of some kind on your hand, and it's really bothering you. It itches, and it's starting to drive you nuts. It's starting to spread. You go to the doctor. Doctor looks and said, "Yeah, that's pretty serious. If you don't do something about it, it's going to even get worse. So I'm going to give you a prescription of a cream that I want you to go home after you fill the prescription and put it on the rash. And this cream was designed specifically to heal this rash that you have." So you go to the drugstore, go to the pharmacy, you get the prescription, you take it home, you put it on the shelf, and then you start complaining, this rash isn't going away. Well, why isn't the rash going away? I got the prescription that the doctor said. I've got that medication. It's home sitting on the shelf. What am I doing wrong? I'm not applying it. I'm not using it to its intended purpose. That's what God's Word is to do for us. We are to use it to its intended purpose. Even the most seemingly irrelevant matters, such as biblical genealogies, are there for a reason. Paul was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. He said, "All Scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness." Hearers of the Word only. Take a quick glance. Thank you. My daughter was right. As you get older, it is tougher to get rid of things like this. Here's only of the word. Take a quick glance, but don't do anything to fix what they've seen. James uses the illustration of a man, and he's using the Greek word which specifies specifically a man. He's talking about a man, not mankind, but man as opposed to women. And it's someone who looks at his natural face in the mirror and then rushes out and forgets what he saw. And maybe when he looked in the mirror, he needed a shave. Or maybe his hair was all unruly and he glanced, he saw it, but he was in such a hurry to get out the door that he thought, well, I'm not going to worry about it, and off he goes. The mirror showed him the problems, but he didn't do anything about it. The Word of God is like a mirror that reveals the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. Let me read to you Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. When I look into the Word of God, it tells me the way I should be. It reminds me of what God wants me to be. And I should use those reminders and compare them to who I am. But to do that, we need to be honest with ourselves. We can't fix something we don't think is broken. When we gather around the Lord's table the first day of the week, as Dave Gastelum pointed out this morning, the wonderful words that he read from the book of Mark, that Jesus didn't want to be separated from his Father. But he did that for us. He did that for me. He did that for you. Those words should be reflected in our life. That sacrifice should be reflected as a mirror. We should see ourselves in the words that David read from God's Word. And it should have an effect on the way that I live. But if I just take a quick glance at it, if I just don't pay a lot of attention to it, then it's not going to do any good in helping me fix the things I need to fix. Here is only forget what they've heard. It's not the mirror's fault. The mirror tells it like it is. But it's like the man who's got so many things going on in his life that the word is choked out, as we read about in the sower, where the word is planted and the cares, the worries of the word, the world just crush it out. I don't think that James is describing a man with a poor memory. I think he's describing a man with poor priorities. And I get it. I get it. There are many times in my life where I was sitting right there where Sosie's sitting. Sosie's sitting right there. That's where I used to sit. That's where I used to sit, and Ann used to sit, and Gina and Drew sat, and Rob and Ryan sat. We sat right there. And Jerry Kendall was standing right up here and preached some marvelous sermons. And I can remember thinking to myself, he's right on. He's talking about me. I've got to do something about that anger issue. I've got to do something about whatever the issue happened to be. I've got to think about that. And then the sermon's over. The invitation song is sung. The closing prayer is said. I get up from where Sosie's sitting, and I turn around and I talk to people all the way out the doors. Get the kids loaded in the van. Off we go. Ann said, what do you think of the lesson? Wasn't that great? I'm thinking, what was that lesson about? I think that happens to all of us. Because we hear the word. And it's not that the word's not important to us. But in terms of our priority, Somehow it gets more toward the bottom of the list rather than the top of the list where it needs to be. Hearing the word and not doing leads to self-deception. I think I'm doing fine. As long as I'm looking and seeing things the way I want to see them. But God, because He loves us, gave us something, a mirror of reality, a mirror of truth, a mirror of seeing things the way that He sees things and the way that He created life to be. As we read the Word, we need to ask ourselves, how does it apply to my life? How does it apply to my life? If we can't figure out how the text applies, then we need to really pray about it and ask the Holy Spirit to help us with that. One thing I remember Jerry Kindle said while standing up here one day was that it isn't the parts of the Bible that I don't know that worry me. It's the parts that I do know and I don't do that scare me to death. Remember that, Buzz? A lot of truth to that. It's not the scripture that I know. We're familiar with a lot of the scripture that's read here. It's read perhaps every week. We know it. But it's the scriptures that I know that I don't do. That's what I'm worried about. That's what I need to fix. That's what I need to focus on. Hearers only end up deceiving themselves. But there's another side. When I do hear the word and do, it leads to a blessing. The blessed hearer and doer looks intently at the word. Looks intently at the word. The Greek word that's used here means to stoop and look. It's the same word that was used when John and Mary ran to the tomb of Jesus. And they stooped and they looked intently inside to see if the body was there. It wasn't a casual look. It wasn't just a glance. They wanted to see if their Savior was there. So they looked intently. And that's the way that God wants us to look into His Word. Intently. You know, it's interesting. How many times has this happened to you? Where you've read a passage maybe over and over and over again, and then you read it again, and somehow something jumps out to you you hadn't seen before. And you say to yourself, why didn't I see that before when I read it? One of the beauties of John Smith coming here and talking to us about God's Word, the Holy Spirit, and many other things that He directs our minds in, is that as He's presenting a point on a passage that we have read over and over again, we have to wonder ourselves, why didn't I see it that way? What He is telling us is so obvious. Why didn't I see that before? Perhaps it's because I didn't look intently into the Word, as John does in his study. God wants us to understand the things He's given us, but He wants us to look at it with open hearts and open minds and intently, not a quick glance. The blessed hearer and doer applies the Word not just to his outward behavior, but to his heart. Psalms 119 and verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. As Jesus rebuked the Jews, He said, the people honor me with their lips, but where's their heart? It's far from me. God's word applied to our hearts by the Holy Spirit frees us from the bondage of sin. The blessed hearer and doer continues applying the word to his heart. It's a continual process in reading and learning and applying if we're going to grow to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. And we do it over a lifetime. It's not something we do just when we're in trouble. It's not something that we do when everything seems to be closing in on us and we need help. It's not just then that we go to the Word. We do it all the time. It helps us avoid some of the pitfalls that we run against when we don't do that. So, reading the Word and not doing it, being a hearer only, we deceive ourselves. But hearing God's Word and doing what it says we should do leads to a blessing from God. How many times in your life have you been going through difficult things and just maybe you feel lonely? Or maybe whatever the feeling happens to be, and you go into God's Word and you read a particular passage, maybe you just open up the Bible and it seems to open right to what you need to hear. Has that ever happened to you? It's like coming in from a cold day and putting a warm blanket around you. You feel safe. You feel loved. You feel hope. God wants us to get into His Word and just do it. Not just hear it, but do it. There was a gray-haired old man who had been a long member of a church back in the Midwest. Who was reminded of one of the things that Yogi Berra said. Yogi Berra, as you recall, had these great lines. And one of his comments was, you can see a lot just by looking. Think about that. You can see a lot just by looking. But you got to pay attention to what you're looking at. And so he was a member of the church, and after the sermon was over and they went outside, he shook the hand of the minister and he said, you know, that was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful lesson. Everything you said today applies to somebody I know. You see, God doesn't want us looking at His Word and applying it to Mike or to Brian or to anyone else that we know. He wants us to apply it to ourselves. He wants us to take His Word and just do it. So if you're here this morning and we can help you do that in your life, we want to do that. To remember that God has given us the perfect instruction manual for life. But the only way that we're going to be able to apply it is to read it. To read it with an open mind and an open heart. And if any one of your neighbors or friends brings up the shooting that happened here last Monday night, and wants to know what we need to do about it, how we're going to solve this problem, tell them simply this: we need to get back to the Word of God. If you're here this morning, we can help you in any way through prayer or through baptism. We ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.